Welcome to the Influential Personal Brand Podcast. This is the place where you'll learn cutting-edge personal brand strategies from today's most recognizable influencers. We're going to teach you how to build a rock-solid reputation and then how to turn that reputation into revenue. I'm your lead host, Rory Vaden, co-founder of Brand Builders Group, Hall of Fame speaker, and New York Times bestselling author of Take the Stairs.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Influential Personal Brand Podcast. AJ Vaden here, and I'm so excited to introduce a new friend. And I say a new friend because although we have dozens and dozens of mutual friends, somehow Lindsay and I have just now gotten to meet. But I believe it was God's timing and super serendipitous because it's super in alignment with what we've been hearing from the Brand Builders Group community and all of our listeners on the Influential Personal Brand Podcast. So I'm so excited to introduce you to Lindsay Shorts. I'm going to give her a formal introduction in just a second. But first and foremost, I want to tell you why you need to stick around for this podcast and how you know if this episode is for you. Number one, if you are in a season of trying to figure out how to build engaged community around your personal brand and your business, this is a custom designed episode for you. Number two, if you're figuring out how to get more engagement from your community online and or offline, this would be an episode for you. Number three, if you've been thinking to yourself, I want to create live event experiences, and you're wondering, should I do that? Why would I want to do that? How would I do that? Are you crazy enough to do that? Then these would all be good things that we're going to talk about on today's episode. So it's really about building engaged community. How does it begin? How do you continue it? How does it end? But then also weaving in some conversations around how do we do that on an offline environment with this idea of events and experiences, but also in the digital ecosystem with social media, and how do we stay in touch with our community when we don't live nearby and we don't see you all the time? So that is what we're going to talk about today. And if that sounds appealing to you, then don't miss a second. Stick around to the very end, and you're going to be glad that you did. Now, with all of that said, let me introduce you to Lindsay Shorts. I will read you an official bio, but I know just even by reading this, there are millions of things that she has left off in this, because I know, because I've heard so many amazing things about her for so long, that she is very much downplaying all of her awesomeness in this bio. But I will tell you that she is an author, she is an investor, she is a master community builder, and the founder of Powerhouse Women, which is fiercely committed to supporting other women, which I love. But she also invests her time in mentoring women and girls of all ages. And I think that's amazing. It doesn't matter if you're a high school student or a powerhouse entrepreneur, the power of just mentorship and leadership is ever present in all things that you're doing. And I'm so excited to learn from you today and to ask you questions and, most importantly, introduce you to our awesome community. So Lindsay, welcome to the show.
I am so thrilled to be here. I'm a longtime listener of the podcast, so this just feels super fun.
I am so excited. And one of the things that I would love to do before we get into the nitty-gritty details, since we are newer friends and you're new to our audience, I would love for you to just kind of give a high-level background of where you started and how you got to where you are and what you're doing today.
I'm so grateful that you asked this part of the story, because the further removed I get from it, I think people see what Powerhouse Women is today. And it's easy to forget that everybody has that day one. Everybody has that season where you're figuring it out as you go. And Powerhouse Women really started when I decided to do something that challenged me, probably for the first time in my adult life. And when I tell you that I had lived a very safe life, I had lived a life that didn't involve much risk. It didn't involve getting out of my comfort zone. And it was tricky because I am the person that can give 60, 70% of my full potential, and I can create results that look really shiny on the outside. But I think you get to a point where you realize that personal growth is such a fundamental need. Our own evolution is such a fundamental need that life starts to feel really small if you're not stepping into things that really challenge you. For me, this season really came to a head about 7 years into building a little network marketing business that I built, and it was really successful. So I shouldn't really even call it little, but I was in this season of restlessness, just praying for direction, praying for an answer. And, you know, I think we often pray prayers that we're not ready for the answer for. We're not ready to get the answer. And that prayer led me down a journey of saying yes to writing a book, a self-published book. And that was the last thing I really thought I had any business doing. I was not a writer. I always tell my audience at our events, I had this little blog called Love Lindsay. And I published consistently one article per year because I was just so afraid of putting myself out there. You know, they say publish consistent content. So every year I would put out one blog. And then I wondered why I wasn't being discovered, why my personal brand wasn't taking off. And I just had to really come to terms with the fact that I was what was holding myself back. So I said yes to writing this book, never, ever in my wildest dreams intending for it to become something more. And that journey of writing for an entire year changed my life. It had me really face where I was playing small and stopping myself. And the moment that fear would show up, I would do this kind of cute quit where I would just choose comfort. And all of that to say, I finished the book, spoiler alert. I named it Powerhouse Woman because I really wanted to, I was speaking to myself just as much as I was speaking to the brilliant women around me that we don't need to achieve something more to become this powerhouse. It really is already within us. It's within the seeds of these dreams and visions that are put on our heart for a reason. And the book was released and I had some support in the publishing process. My editor and publisher, now good friend, said, you should do a book launch event. That's what people do to promote their book. And I said, okay. So the very first Powerhouse Women event was really just a day supposed to be about celebrating this book and this message. And I'll never forget, and we're going to dig into what a big production it's become now. I'll never forget at the end, women said, okay, well, what's next? And I was just kind of like, goodbye. You know, I had nothing else. I had not even thought through what this could become. But it all really started with the seed of getting out of my own way, really deciding to challenge the limits of what I knew myself to be capable of, and realizing that there were so many others who were in a similar season. They just knew they were meant for more, but they were stopping themselves because of fear or self-doubt or all the things that now we know are so normal. That is actually the price of admission. That's how you know you're pursuing something that's worth pursuing. So fast forward, here we are 7 years later. I know we're going to get into all of that, but the beginnings of the story are very humble. I had no clue what I was doing. I was really operating on faith and on this knowing that I couldn't keep playing small and hiding my gifts anymore.
I love that. One of my favorite quotes that I keep getting fed to by the Instagram algorithm is, let this year be a God did it year. And I love stories like yours because it's like, you can take no credit. And it's like to give him all the glory of, if we just step back and step into faith, it's amazing what he'll do without us as long as we're willing participants of going, yes. Hey, I'll step out and I'll take that next step. And God, I just show me the way, show me what to do. Yeah. And it's amazing how, and you have enough courage to just go, I don't know, but I'm going to move forward in faith. What amazingness comes from that. So that was 7 years ago. What would you say is like the biggest thing that you've learned from, hey, I'm going to do this book launch event, to, oh no, this is way more than just a book launch event. This is a whole event series. What would you say is the biggest thing you've learned in the last 7 years?
Yeah. Well, I think on the heels of what you just shared, I thought I was living my life by faith up until that point. But I realized that faith doesn't actually enter the picture until you step beyond what you know yourself to be capable of. So here I was operating within what I could control, and I wanted to control the outcome. I wanted to control people's perception of me. I wanted to control so many variables of it. And I had this tight grip on my story and my purpose and my life. And it wasn't until I opened that up and I said, okay, I'm going to step way out, way beyond what I know myself to be capable of. And now, the lesson I learned in that is that that was where all the magic lies. That's where the miracles lie. You don't actually start to scratch the surface of what you're capable of until you step into that feeling of, can I really do this? So even still now, I know that my next miracle, my next breakthrough is waiting for me just beyond, like if you imagine kind of like looking over the horizon, it's just over what we can see. Mm. And that's easy to say, and it sounds really cute, and we'll probably all be fed a quote like that on Instagram this week. But it's a whole other thing. Let's just be real. It's a whole other thing when like your heart is pounding and your palms are sweating and you're like, am I really about to do this? Which kind of brings us to, I know we're going to get into just the community element today. I think that's why community is absolutely essential, because I'm not strong enough to do this on my own. And I don't know many people who are. I just think we're really designed to create in community.
I love that. So that's such a good transition to talk about community. And so I would love to know, it's like, what would you say is the difference? Because people always talk about my audience, but an audience and a community are really different. And so how would you define, like, here's my audience versus here's my community?
It's such an important distinction to make, and I'm sure other people would have their own definitions. But I remember when I started to be asked to teach on this, and I really had to step back and go, well, I don't know. I'm just doing what I'm doing. I couldn't even tell you what it is. But the moment I sat down, it really kind of just downloaded right there in that moment that I think we confuse an audience with a community, and both are necessary. And I have strategies for building both in my business. But building our audience is really step one. It's really, when I think about building my audience, I'm answering the question for myself, how can I get more people to connect with me? Whether that's me as a personal brand or me as a business brand. And that's important. We want people to know about you and know about how amazing you are and how you can serve them. But most people are stopping there. They think, okay, I'm just going to get that attention and convert that into sales. And you can do that. That's beautiful. That's a whole strategy. But what I predict and what I know from my own personal experience is when you take it a level deeper and you start to ask a better question, once you have that attention, you have a way to bring new people into your world, it's asking a question of not how can I get them to connect with me? Now they've done that. How can you get more of those people to connect with each other? And that's where community really starts to form. And I mean, it is the most valuable thing that you can build for your brand is a connected, engaged community. And even when people hear engaged community, I think they imagine, oh, when I post something on Instagram, they're talking back to me. No, no, no. What I talk about when I say engaged community is, I'll use my own story as just a mini example. We will launch, you know, event tickets, and I'm actually not really selling that event. It's the people in our community saying, hey, five friends, you have to come with me. Yes, buy your ticket. I'm going to send you the link. But it's taken a lot of intentional cultivating to get to that point. So when you have an engaged community, you know, because you have these, it's just like this natural built-in almost affiliate marketing channel. You have these referrals coming in. You have this brand loyalty that actually can't be taken away and it can't be matched. It's so deep. Community is just so much deeper, but it really starts with that question. How do I get more of the people who are following me to connect with each other?
I love that. And it's so true, but I love that distinction of building an audience is helping people connect with you. Building a community is helping them connect to each other. And that's awesome. So I would love for you to talk about how do you do both of those? How do you, in all that you're doing, build your audience, right? Because it's like, first, you kind of have to start there. And then how do you today, between all the different mediums, build a truly engaged community? How do you facilitate that?
Well, it's interesting having you ask that question in that way, because what I realize is we actually focus primarily on building the community element, and that inherently has helped to also grow our audience. I think audience growth, and you have so many amazing resources even on this podcast to really dive deep into that. You know, it's as simple as really knowing who is the person you're speaking to, what works in terms of getting them to come and want to engage with your account, to listen to your podcast. So we just pay a lot of, it's kind of boring. We pay attention to metrics and numbers, and we're like, oh, wow, when we do a podcast about this topic, we tend to have more downloads. Or when we post quotes on our social media, those are actually what get us new eyeballs, new followers. So there's, I think the strategies for how to build an audience are There's so many different resources out there. But for us, just really paying attention to numbers, metrics, what works. I'm most excited to talk a little bit about like the strategy behind the community, because I think this is kind of where there's not many people really teaching this. When I really sat down, like I said, to kind of put it into a formula that I could gift people, that I could help them have the success that we've had, I realized that there's these three crucial elements. But if you skip the first one, the other two don't matter. Okay. So the first one is there's this culture, there's an energy and a magnetism. And even if you go to the Powerhouse Women page today, or you meet someone, I always say that the true test of culture is if you meet someone who's associated with that brand. So if I were at a party and I meet someone who I know has worked with Rory and AJ, because I follow their brand, I love their brand, I immediately assume some things about that person. That's the culture. Whether you've intentionally created that, and if you haven't, then now is the perfect time to start. Or if you haven't, it's really, what do people know about your brand, whether or not you're telling them that? What are your customers, the people who engage with you, what are they saying about your brand? But it starts with the easiest place to start. So if this is kind of like, ooh, okay, that sounds deep, and where do I even begin to really cultivate that culture? I think the most important question any of us can ask if we're really serious about building community is the question of, well, what do I want to unify people around? What's going to be the connective tissue that brings people together? Because you can unify people around all sorts of things. You can unify them against, we all dislike this thing, this topic, this person. People unify around that. You watch it happen all the time. Or you can unify people around a common mission, a common cause. But what I found, I'll just give you the cheat sheet for what I believe is the most powerful thing to unify people around, especially those of you that are building more personal brands, is who do they want to become? What's the aspirational identity that they want to become? And that's essentially what we've done within Powerhouse Women. Is there's this, people would probably use all different words to define it, but there is this mission-driven, heart-centered, collaborative version of ourselves, and, you know, kind of like this future higher self that we're all on this journey to step into. And so defining that culture, what you're unifying people around, is number one. Then there's a whole strategy around.
Before you go on, because I want to just talk here for a second, because I think this is the part that people so often skip over.
Yes, agreed.
They're so focused on, where do I get the people? Where do I find the people? That they forget. It's like, if you don't know who you're trying to attract and why you're trying to attract them and why they would stay, right? It's like you're missing the core element of what really builds community. And so I just want to reiterate what you said, because I think it's so powerful. It's number one, what do I want to unify people around? And I think that is such a defining part of a business, a personal brand, but even just a life statement of, what do I want to be about? Like, when, you know, we always say Brand Builders Group, when people think of you, what do you want them to think of?
Yes, it's exactly what you guys teach.
And that is so true. It's like, if you met somebody that was associated with Brand Builders Group, like, we know, like, hopefully they have this, 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 and this, because that would be an extension of the culture that we're trying to create. And hopefully they wouldn't have X, Y, and Z. And there's nothing wrong with X, Y, and Z. It's just not what we represent. There's a community for that person. It's just not here. And I think a huge part of that is knowing, you got to know who you are and who you're trying to attract, so that when you find them, you're like, that's you. And they know that too. So I love that. And then the second piece is, who is the aspirational person they want to become? And if you have a whole bunch of people going after the same thing in the right direction, it will multiply. Because then it's like they become your sales force, which is kind of what you said earlier. And I love that. And I don't want to skip over that, because I think these are the types of things that people skip over, and the plight of urgency to get it done and to be done. And this is the hard work that is worth it. And it is the hard work that no one talks about, but it is the secret sauce. And so I love that you talked about that. Would you mind telling us those two things for you and Powerhouse Women? Like, what is it that you're unifying people around? I can take my own guesses, but, and then who is the aspirational person they want to become? I would love to know what that is for you.
Yes. So from the very beginning, the motto within Powerhouse Women is we're not meant to do business or life alone. So what we're unifying people around is this belief that we are better together, and not just as like a platitude of women supporting women, which is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. But, and this is very much the truth today, I want people to feel that when they walk in the room. I want them to feel it when they engage with someone that they meet from the community. It's different and people feel it. So what you're unifying people around is so much more than words. It's something that it takes time to really cultivate this, but the depth of it should be felt before you even have to say the words. So really that connection and true collaboration almost just seems like not a strong enough word, but the belief that we're better together, and the aspirational identity is kind of what I described before of this woman who knows she's meant for more. And wants a space that it's safe to be just as unapologetic about how big her dreams are and whatever size big really means for her, because we all have different callings in life. But she feels the sense that she's meant for more. She wants a place that it's safe to be unapologetic about the big dreams, but equally safe to be really honest about the parts that are challenging and hard. There can be space for both, because I believe when we give ourselves the freedom to be just as honest about both and really open and unapologetic sharing both, that's where our true power lies and where we really see that connection and multiplication of sharing in each other's gifts really, really comes to life. So that would be my answer today. You know, I think that's important to know too. I'm constantly getting to know my own community, and my community is constantly evolving. So this isn't something that you write down day one of starting your business. This should be something that evolves as your mission and your purpose evolves. And mine has.
I love that so much. And I think too, just knowing that it does evolve. And so whatever you set it as today, it's like, let it organically change and evolve as things grow and progress. And that's okay. Because it may look different. Likely will look different from where you are today, 7 years ahead, which I'm positively sure. All of the things we're going to talk about have gone through an evolution process. Okay, so that's number one. I just thought that was so powerful. I wanted to stop to make sure everyone got that. Okay, yes. So number two.
Hi, it's AJ Vaden, and thanks for listening to the Influential Personal Brand Podcast. Did you know that the ideas we share on the show are things we actually specialize in helping you implement? If you want to raise your public profile and turn your reputation into revenue, please visit freecall.brandbuildersgroup.com to sign up for a free brand strategy call with one of our personal brand strategists. Again, that's freecall.brandbuildersgroup.com to sign up for your free call. Talk to you soon.
Well, and I definitely wasn't trying to steamroll and jump into number two, because what I said at the beginning is give yourself time to sit with and marinate in this first piece. And I think that's the other thing I just want to make sure to mention is I wasn't clear about those things in the first couple of years, but what I was really dedicated to was constantly gathering feedback. And I mean, I would set up one-on-one Zoom calls with women who would come to our events and just for 15 minutes and like really hear their heart. So the way that this started to form was by getting together, like communing with the people who were in some way or another really resonating with the message. So it took me some time to even get really clear. I would say I remember so vividly, it was our third annual event. So first one was in 2017. In 2019, all of a sudden I felt like something clicked in. And that was after 2 years of building this community, listening to people, not even really monetizing it yet, other than the event, which was essentially just paying for itself barely. It was 2 years of cultivating this. So I want to make sure to state that piece. The second part, the second pillar of what it really takes to build not just an engaged community, but a profitable one is that connection piece. And that's the connection where you intentionally create ways for people to connect with each other. And this goes like to such a deep human need. And if you look at the hierarchy of needs right above food, shelter, and water, like things that are actually necessary for our survival is a feeling of belonging. Mm-hmm. So if your brand becomes a place where people know they can find their people, and this is so much of what I feel about Brand Builders Group and what you and Rory have done, is you know that you're going to find like-minded people there. And then translating that into ways people can connect. And usually the pushback I get here is, but I hate Facebook groups and so do my people. And I never said anything about a Facebook group. Because the truth is, connection has nothing to do, or community has nothing to do with the container, meaning the place where community happens. It's the connection. So we build community and connection via our podcast by interacting directly with our listeners. We do have a Facebook group where people can connect, but we use text messaging to allow people to send us their questions, and they feel very much engaged, like it's a direct conversation between us and them. We do this on our social media channels. And my favorite little tip to give is, do you use your Instagram captions to encourage connection between each other, or do you use your captions to encourage connection with you? Now, we use both, right? So a call to action, if I want someone to engage with me, is tell me what you think about this, or we'll post about a podcast and say, have you ever experienced this? We're asking them to talk back to us. But take it another step further and instead create captions maybe once a week that call people to engage with each other. So we'll do things like, hey, our motto here is you're not meant to do business or life alone. And we believe that the answer to anything you need is just one or two introductions away, or one or two bold asks away. So in the comments, comment below one need that you have in your business right now, and then go through the comments and see if there's someone else that you could be the answer to their need. And we get people to engage with each other. Even simpler way to do this, this is like one of my favorite things to do, either in Instagram comments or you can do this on Zoom calls, is we'll just say, hey, we're going to have everybody drop an emoji in the comments below. And all I want you to do is go and follow and DM the person who commented right above you. We're going to use this thread for you to make two new friends right away. You just send one message, you're going to receive one message. Little things like that all of a sudden start to position you as sort of this place where people know they can come to your brand and they're going to meet like-minded people. It's no longer just about you and connecting with you as the brand. That's going to happen anyway. If I know that I'm going to get a core human need met when I'm interacting with your brand, I don't even need to worry about people falling in love with the brand. That's just going to happen by default. So that connection piece, those are just two really easy examples for how you can start to build connection now. Of course, once you've gotten really clear, like, well, what do you want to build connection around? Because it's going to be a different conversation if I'm building connection around business and entrepreneurship and supporting one another than it is if I'm building connection around gluten-free living and healthy eating or a clean lifestyle. So I think, again, starting with that most important piece, but connection is an action word. So how are you encouraging people and telling them to take the action that you want to help them take?
That's so good, because the truth is, as much as people say, I want community, they truly do need to be told how to build it, how to get involved, what to do. It's like, just give me some steps, right? And so the easier you make it, it's more likely they are to follow through on it. It's like, whoever's above you, this is what you do. And it's like, oh, okay, I can do that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I hear so many people in my personal life and also in our professional life where it's like, man, they're lonely. They're lonely because they're doing something that their friends and family don't agree with or think is crazy, or they're alone because this is a new venture and they don't know anyone else who's doing this, or they're lonely because they aren't reaching out. They're not asking for help. They're trying to do it on their own. And it's like, man, this is hard enough to do with other people. you don't want to isolate yourself and try to do it all alone. And I just hear from so many people, I just don't know where to go. I just don't know what to do. You know, one of my favorite books is Find Your People by Jenny Allen. And like the practical, I always tell people, to me, it's like how to make friends as an adult. This is what this book is about. And I think it's the same in business. It's the same thing you're doing. It's like, man, you just need practical steps. It's like, oh, I can do that. And so I love that, of just like telling people what to do, giving them short, easy, actionable steps, but then creating a variety of ways for people to get engaged with whatever fits their vibe.
It's so simple that it's easy to overlook.
Yeah. I mean, I was literally thinking to myself, I'm going to have our community team mandatorily watch this interview because there's so many things of like, because we do, I think, I don't know, 48 virtual events every year. And what an easy thing for us to do with everyone, put something in the comments, whoever was above you, now go follow them. It's like those super tactical, easy to implement things that could revolutionize our community and the lives of the people in our community. And it's like, I'm just like, mandatory. So they had to go listen to this interview.
Well, and that was honestly, AJ, where I came up with it, because I used to host a lot of Zoom calls for our community. And, you know, there's like that period of time when you're allowing people to log on and it's a little bit awkward, like, well, what do I say? I'm not diving into the content yet. One day I just said it and I was like, oh, that was actually brilliant. And it so reinforces what we want people to know Powerhouse Women as, is I just said, okay, we're going to do a quick little exercise. So no matter what, you're going to walk away tonight with two new friends. Yeah. And even just the way that I position it is further reinforcing that, hey, even if you're brand new here, now you kind of know that's what this community is about. It's not just doing these easy to implement things. It's also, how can you make sure you're telling people the story of how this relates back to your brand and what you want people to know about your brand? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could nerd out on this all day.
I love that. I think that's so good. So another question I have, was there anything else? Were you going to add anything else?
The third piece, and we won't even really dive into this because unless you're doing the first two, the third one doesn't matter. But because, like I said, there's this journey you're essentially inviting people on. You're inviting them to grow with you. So the third piece, because I love a good alliteration and I needed a C word, is the climb, which is, do people see a clear way for them to continue to grow with you?
That's good. There's
a whole other strategy to that, but I really want people to not, again, because I think people jump to that and they're like, oh, great, this is where I sell offers. No, not necessarily. This is such an important piece, but if you aren't mastering the first two, the third one is going to fall flat. So we'll kind of leave that there. We can always do a part two if we need to in the future at some point, but just asking yourself the question, do people see a clear path to grow with you? And I think the self-reflection question is, how are you modeling that as an aspirational leader? Are you constantly growing? Do your people see you evolving? Because that sets the tone, especially if there's a personal brand element to your business.
I love this. One of the things that just like registered as you were talking about this is, although we're talking about, you know, a community-centric conversation today, my mind also just went to, this is mutually applicable to all things company culture with recruiting, hiring, and employee retention. It's like that is your community. So don't think this is just for your customers. This is for your
community. True.
And so true. Equally as important for any of you who are going, maybe I don't want to build a huge community per se, but the truth is you do have a community. It's your team. It's all the people around you. So how are you instilling these things within your community so you have less turnover and better retention and happier employees? And because they too are your best recruiting ground. So you never have to go out and recruit. Like, they're doing it for you.
So well said.
So many of those things are just very much the same. Now, one of the things that I want to make sure we get to before we do run out of time is one of the choices that you have made is to create this experiential component with live events. And I know that is no light undertaking. And so I would love for you to kind of just as much as you're willing, pull back that dark black curtain and say, like, this is what it's actually like to run big events. And big, again, is totally up to you to decide what's big, but it's like, I think any size of event can be considered a big event because there is so much planning and orchestration, and doesn't matter if you're talking about 50 people or 5,000 people. So what would you have to share with us about what it takes to sell out an event? In your case, you're, you know, 500, 600, 700 plus person events, but what are the mechanics to pull that off?
Well, this has, again, been many years of, I wouldn't even say trial and error. It's more dedication to building the community, just knowing that because I have always, and we haven't even really touched on this, but let me just pull back the curtain all the way. We've always had a very small audience. We sold a 600 plus person event last year with an email list of under 10,000 or right around 10,000. And our social media following now, we're starting to grow and get some traction. So anyone who's coming to the brand now is like, you don't have that small of an audience. But it really started very small. I didn't even start an email list until mid-2018, almost 2 years into the business. Really wish I could go back and change that. But so when I say I have always had a small audience, I think there's so many of us that use that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. And I never saw it as something that held me back. I just saw it as a reason why I had to think a little bit differently. And without realizing that this is what I was doing, I started to really focus on the connection and realizing that, okay, my first event, I remember my vision, it was so small. I actually at first thought I was going to have the very beginning event in someone's living room. That's how small my vision was. But if someone could just loan us their home, we could have 30 to 50 people. We eventually did expand that, had 100 women in the first event. And I remember having this moment, again, just like so humbly in prayer going, God, why did you give me this vision if I am so ill-equipped to fulfill on it? And just in something in my spirit kind of just said, okay, Lindsay, you're thinking about this like you're doing it by yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know 50 women. You just need to know 10 who would all be willing to invite 5 friends. And so I think that was always the way that I look at my events that way now is, how can we provide such an incredible experience and make it feel like something that you wouldn't want to come to this alone? You want to invite like even that cool girl that you haven't really talked to in your Pilates class, but you just sense that like she's into the same things and maybe you two could connect and go to this event together. So it's just built into our culture that yes, you can come to this event if you don't have a community and you can find your community. But once you're in, it's kind of like, okay, who are you bringing with you next year? Because you wouldn't want to keep this to yourself. So in the early, early days, we've also never run ads. So it's all completely organic, small audience. So anyone who wants to come at me and say, Lindsay, here's my excuse for why this won't work. I mean, I would challenge you on that with so much love because it hasn't been an overnight success. It's been a slow build, a very intentional build. But because I've prioritized the connection, building that culture in big and small ways, and then also just really creating this environment at the events where people want to come back and they want to bring others because they see a continual way to keep growing. We have been able to, you know, now we can post a Black Friday sale. We did this year in a week and we sold 350 tickets, which, you know, is kind of like unheard of in the event space. But it's not just because I woke up one day and had this huge email list. It's 7 years of creating the connection, listening. There is no one who is more in touch with her community, maybe than me. And still to this day, individually answering DMs and messages and really creating the experience that this isn't my community, it's theirs. Mm. And I'm just the one who's going to throw the party for all of us to come together. So I know that that's a little, I can just hear the people who are more left brain like, but give us a strategy. So I'll give you some actual strategies. Okay. But you had to hear my heart first, because this is far more of the conversation we've had up until this point than it is send these 3 emails. Okay. Mm-hmm. Something tangible that has actually really worked for us is creating urgency through deadlines. So in the past, we would do like an early bird ticket sale, and then we would do just then from however long you have until the event, you're just trying to get butts in seats, right? We've realized, again, data and numbers, which I have the most brilliant business partner, my COO, who is brilliant at this, and she really helps to bring these numbers together. We noticed everyone buys tickets right before a deadline. So if you notice this trend within your own event promotion, just create more deadlines. So we create deadlines that are ticket price increases. That's kind of like the more conventional approach. So we'll do, when we launch tickets in March, there will be a 1-week flash sale. You have 7 days to get the best possible price. So it's condensed into a really, really short time frame. And we typically will sell 30% of our tickets in that 1 week. Then it goes to our early bird. And that's kind of like the longest stretch of time. It's kind of like the Sahara Desert where you see a tumbleweed coming in. That's like one ticket sale every couple of days. And you can't freak out in this time period. There's just no urgency for people to buy. So until we have another price increase that we can really push toward, we create other deadlines. So one example of this is we host a speaker contest where two women get chosen to do like a 5-minute TED talk, if you will. We call it My Powerhouse Moment. And you have to be a ticket holder in order to submit. And we realized that that was one of the biggest questions we would get asked from our audience, from our community was, how do I become one of the speakers? My dream would be to speak on stage one day. So we gave them the opportunity and we built that into a reason why they should have their ticket earlier than maybe they were planning to purchase it. So yes, there are strategies, but it all really comes down to building that community and creating something that people can't miss. It is, we actually now relate to it as our New Year's Eve. That's like the start of our year. And then we come back around and we celebrate the growth we've had in the previous year at the next event. That's just kind of how we roll now.
But you know, part of that is, and I love that because I do think it's like, we're just trained, our human brains are trained to go like FOMO, right? It's like, want this good deal, don't want to miss this deadline. It's like our brain thinks in those types of tranches. But what I love is that you've also incorporated some of the things that your community wants as incentives. And yep. You can only do that if you're in touch with your community, you're getting feedback from your community, you're listening to your community and you're going, hey, like, let's weave this in as an incentive to get people to move to action because we all need that. We all need some reason to get up to move to action so that we don't miss out on the things that we said we wanted. So I love that you're also using the things that you already know about your community as a way of getting them to take action in a schedule that works for you, right? Because in the event business, there are deadlines that you have to meet too, right?
So, oh my goodness.
You know,
so once you become an event host, you realize, oh, okay, I was the jerk that was always waiting last minute to buy my ticket. And then you're hosting an event realizing you have to pay all of those deposits months in advance. So if you really want to get on an event host's good side, buy your ticket early.
I have a good friend who I was asking her one day, like, what's your pricing strategy? And she was like, oh, well, I have my favorite client pricing and my pain in the butt client pricing.
That is so genius.
And I was like, yeah, that's true. And it's like, yeah, you are going to pay more if you wait to the last minute because it's stressing everyone else out. So yeah, you're going to pay more. If you pay, have less stress, it's easier. But I think there's a lot of those just nuances of going, like, I got to get you to move to action so that we can move to action on the back end. And so how do we dually incentivize that? And I love that deadlines and discounts and speak on stage incentives. That's like probably like a favorite that you mentioned of giving something to people that they're asking for. And for so many people, what a cool life-changing moment for them to like fulfill a dream that, you know, I love that. I think that's so cool. I love all of this. And I know that you have your big events coming up. And it's in August and tickets are going to go on sale any day. So as this is being released, as you are listening to this right now, we are timing the release of this also with your tickets going on sale for your 2024 Powerhouse Women event, which is going to be in Scottsdale on August 9th and 10th. What can you tell us about this event? So I'm an advocate of abundance mentality. Everyone who's listening, if you want to just go and watch how it's done, right? Like this would be like a great opportunity to do that. But tell us about this event and what should people expect?
Oh, you're so kind. I'm biased. So I always tell people this up front. I am very biased. So I will tell you it is the best day of my year. And it's truly the culmination of everything we talked about today. If you are someone who is listening and you're like, yeah, I want to be more unapologetic about how big my dreams are and be in a space where that's celebrated and where people aren't intimidated or trying to talk me into a smaller vision, but I also want to have real conversations about the challenges that come along the way. And I want to meet my people. I want to meet people who are on that same journey. Then we've brought them all together in a room for you. And it is happening August 9th and 10th. The 10th is the full day event. And then the 9th, we have a kickoff party, which is a big pajama party. We call it Pajamas and Prosecco. And really, that even that's intentional. It can be intimidating to walk into a room of powerful women, but it's a little less intimidating if you get to meet them Friday night in fuzzy slippers. So
in their pajamas.
We do that. Definitely in pajamas.
In your pajamas.
Little less intimidating. So it's just the most beautiful celebration of ambition, and authenticity. And we bring in amazing speakers, some who you've probably had on the podcast, Amy Porterfield, Jasmine Starr has spoke on stage, Lori Harder, Patrice Washington. We do have, I guess I can share it here, Jamie Kern Lima is coming this year, which I know you guys are helping
awesome.
With her book launch. So we have a lot in store and I'm just so excited for it. Yeah. And the tickets will go on sale any day now. But like you said, even if you're just listening to this and you just want to take like a masterclass in how we are promoting this event, tap into our email list, watch our social, you'll see actively how we're doing this. And I'm just so excited to pay it forward.
I'm so excited for you and for this event and for this episode. So much goodness in this. And I love your heart behind everything. And I love too that you can appeal to the right brain and the left brain. That's the good self-awareness of that. I love that. It's so good. But y'all, just like Lindsay said, if you just want to just follow the process, worst case scenario, just learning by experiencing, I want you to go to powerhousewomenevent.com. powerhousewomenevent.com. And perhaps just by watching the process, you understand why you should be at this event. And then you can go ahead and click and buy your ticket, right? So again, I'm a super advocate of this. I think this is amazing. I'm actually going to check my schedule. I think this sounds so awesome to be, again, back to being in a room where you feel like I found my people. Right. And that's what we all want. So as you're listening to this, this is one way. If you're looking for your people, then again, go to powerhousewomenevent.com. The event's August 9th and 10th. Tickets on sale, like we said, any day now. But then also, if you're just trying to learn the process of going like, how are they doing this? Then just go check it out. Get in the email sequence, follow all the things they're doing on social media. We'll put all of that on the show notes. So you can just click and go check them out on Instagram, the different websites, but the primary one is powerhousewomenevent.com. Lindsay, thank you so much. This was so awesome. Loved every second of it. And for everyone else who was listening, make sure you stick around for the recap episode and we will see you next time on the Influential Personal Brand.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Influential Personal Brand Podcast. But here's some great news. One of the most valuable things you can do to help us and other new potential listeners to find our show is for you to both rate this show and leave a review. So, as a special bonus for you, if you leave us a comment in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen, take a screenshot of your review and email it to podcast@brandbuildersgroup.com. We will give you free 30-day access to 25 of our most popular interviews on video in your own private members-only area. So go right now, rate us, review us, and then send a screenshot of it into podcast@brandbuildersgroup.com. And we'll get you set up with free access to our most popular video interviews all in one place. Also, just please share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. And until next time, remember that building a business isn't nearly as valuable as building a reputation.